What did you think of the town hall?
I thought it was good. If I was thinking about that this morning in terms of what I would recommend to people, because it'll either be on our archives or available through Facebook. If you want a lively account of what's going on and the senator's views on it, I think it's good. If you're looking for the kind of fireworks that have occurred at some town halls, particularly Republican, you'll be vastly disappointed. And it's inefficient way to get the information in terms of what he does say, because there's just a lot of time when people start
out. What were the main takeaways, did you think?
Let me just say people start out with personal things that maybe not everybody's interested in. And there's an awful lot of people thanking him for what he does.
Sure.
That kind of thing, which is all fine. I'm not criticizing anybody, but not fascinating.
Not helpful. Listening
for somebody to go to the archives.
Right.
Main takeaways. Well, we also, as you know, I also sat here. He sat in the chair you're sitting in yesterday for 40 minutes, and we did an interview. Which ended up being great fun because he was fascinated by the vinyl here. But we'll play that as some part of this show, probably in September, on a Wednesday in September. But he's passionately involved, of course, in opposing some of the things the Trump administration is doing. And probably, in my view, the hardest question I asked him was, okay, I think we're in Germany in 1934 or thereabouts, and there are dangers around us. And I told him, you and I talk about it. And
right.
I take, will our democracy survive? You tend to trust the people and the institutions, and I tend to be a little more pessimistic. And he definitely acknowledged the problem, agreed that our democracy is in great danger, but he says he takes the optimistic view because he has faith in the American people and he didn't say institutions, but how much we care for democracy. And,
I think that's true.
I know you do.
Yeah. Well, okay.
I'm a lot more concerned.
Did he say anything that surprised you or that you didn't expect?
It's not substantive, but there was an incredibly human moment toward the end of the town hall that I could identify with, thinking about when my father died. But he was talking, for some reason, in connection with answering somebody's question. He was talking about his mother and his father and, their reaction to him getting elected to the state, I guess getting elected representative initially.
Ben Ray?
Yeah, wasn't he?
I think he started at the PRC. I think he went from the PRC to Congress, if I remember correctly.
Anyway, but he was a representative, right? Congress?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Okay. So when he got elected to that, and then he said my he referred to his father. He said he didn't see me get elected to the Senate.
Right.
And he had to stop.
Well, and for people who don't know who his father is. His father was the biggest power broker in Santa Fe for two decades.
Right.
And Ben Lujan was the Speaker of the House for two decades at a time when the Speaker had way, way, way more power than he does now.
Right. And you would have known him well probably in the course of your work.
Well,
anyway, my point was just that he broke down when he was referring to that, which is so human and certainly happened to me.
Sure.
In connection with my parents, and it was,
That makes my point look like a jerk, but I'll go ahead and make it anyway. I started with a very dim view of Ben Ray Lujan because he rode daddy's coattails to chairman of the PRC when he had no education, no experience, no qualifications for that job, just didn't. And I watched him at some of those meetings. And he was less mature, less controlled than his older, more experienced counterparts. He was the chairman of that board, all because of daddy.
Yeah.
And then he gets elected to Congress because his dad Since then, he's done a terrific job. I've got no complaints with the job he's done since then. But I started out with a very dim view of him because that New Mexico politics.
Fair. And, I'm sorry you weren't with us yesterday. Of course, you weren't back yet.
Right, right.
Otherwise, you would have been.
Right.
But my guess is he would have agreed with you.
Maybe.
I don't know. I think maybe
And I
not.
Don't know if I'd have had the guts to lay that out, to be honest with you. If I was, I hope I'd, I don't know, you know, I don't know. Not certainly as harshly
to say
as
my
I just
first
did.
You know, so we'll have that conversation with him someday. I had never met him. I don't think I met his father. If I did, it was just in passing.
Right.
I had never met him before. Of course, I thought he was probably an okay guy, but I didn't have any strong feelings.
Right.
And I certainly enjoyed our conversation.
No, I think he has grown into the position and has done a terrific job. I want to, make that very clear.
He certainly sounded in combination of talking issues for 40 minutes with me and then what I saw in town hall.
Yeah.
He's capable and knowledgeable and hardworking.
Right. The other point I'd like to make on that is town halls are not supposed to be professional wrestling matches. They're not supposed to be yelling and screaming. I get that. I get the frustration just like, after Obamacare. And the media loves it. I mean, they're showing a town hall in Wyoming where 3 out of the 4 seats are empty. The people who are there are mad and they're yelling and screaming. But it's Wyoming.
Yeah.
The handful of Democrats who turned out do not represent Wyoming voters in any way, shape, or form. And yes, they're mad, and yes, they're screaming and angry, but so what?
I hear you on the other hand. If I were there,
Yeah, no, I get it. And I saw Steve Pierce go through one of those.
Huh?
And to his credit, he stayed for the whole 90 minutes or whatever it was and answered every, after a while they were more civil, but they certainly started out yelling and screaming and, sometimes that's the job, I guess. And he went on to get reelected. So,
Yes. Anyway,
one of the local stories I wanted to talk about because it doesn't finally wrap it up, but it kind of does. The settlement NMSU had with former basketball coach Greg Heyer, $600,000. Greg Heyer was the head coach at the time when there were sexual harassment. Have there been guilty? Can we say more than allegations? I think acts of sexual harassment.
There'll be a trial. Actually, one of those folks. Yeah. I think somebody pled guilty, but
okay,
whatever.
Allegations or actions.
Apparent. I would say apparent.
There you go. Thank you.
Apparently some weird sexual
as part of a hazing ritual.
As part of a hazing ritual. And it got out of hand, way out of hand. And, we're probably going to be paying if we haven't already settled.
We've settled one.
Yeah, we settled with a victim and his family.
Right.
For a lot more than $600K.
For a lot more.
I was curious. It does sort of, it's a punctuation mark in the story. I haven't read enough to have a strong opinion on it. I do know from my own experience that, 600K, it's probably, I'm curious why we spent so much. On the other hand, I'm not, because we owed him money on the contract.
Correct.
There probably were, arguable issues as to our cause for firing him. He claimed, of course, that he didn't know and wasn't obligated to know, in the sense that he shouldn't have. He wasn't given him any hints that should have told him about what was going on.
And I should say it was also written into his contract that if he were fired, that there had to be, I forget exactly what the language was, but NMSU had to prove cause. And as you say, certainly that would require them demonstrating that he had or should have had some knowledge. And I can see how
I could argue that, if I were, If I were the university's lawyer and I were arguing, you know, if we, depending on the language in the contract, which I haven't looked at, if I were told to argue that we had cause based on what we knew, I think I could make a pretty good argument. On the other hand, obviously, his lawyers can argue, hey, we didn't have reason. I mean, part of you thinks if that kind of thing is going on, you just should know. If you're in the kind of deep contact with these people, coaching them in basketball, if nothing else, you should be approachable by one or more of the victims, or you should see something's wrong with one of them and
That's right.
make inquiries. I would, if I were, it's funny because one of the things you do in law school and, occasionally it happens to you later that you get the wrong end of the case first, but, you think about how would I argue the other side.
Right.
And this, a lot of times you'd rather have the other side, but you ought to argue the one you have. In this situation, in terms of not the strict contract, but basically was there cause to fire the guy, I'd argue yes.
And we've got a phone call.
Oh, good.
I want to say just real – no, we don't. Okay, so I don't have to say it real quickly. So Mario Mocha, the athletic director at the time, he's gone. The president at the time, he's gone. New leadership in both of those positions. Obviously, a new basketball coach. Mm-hmm. Greg Heyer has gone on to, I think, back to a junior college, which is where he was coaching before mm-hmm. he came here. So, I think there is still one case pending. But the other thing that we haven't even brought up was that before any of this happened, there was the incident with the gun at
right.
UNM where one of the basketball players got lured into a trap and ended up shooting and killing somebody in self-defense.
Right.
But that also happened under Greg Heyer's watch. And, it just seems like an awful lot for one coach.
Yeah, it did.
So.
He had good lawyers when he negotiated the contract, I guess.
I guess it's more statewide thing that I wanted before we get to the national stuff. And this actually mm-hmm. segues into the national stuff. Governor Lujan Grisham, for the second year in a row, using her emergency powers on the issue of crime. Last year, she wanted to ban guns in public mm-hmm. places. In Albuquerque, that got shot down by the courts, no pun intended. This year, she's addressing a drug problem in Española and Rio Riba County and is freeing up money for law enforcement. I don't know enough about law, or New Mexico law, that requires an emergency. Maybe it does. And if so, I don't know what else she would do. But a Democratic governor declaring an emergency order over the issue of crime has been jumped on by every conservative media. The headline on the website of Fox News, the main head, is Democratic governor issues emergency order over crime. The subhead comes as Donald Trump attempts to take over police in nation's capital. So they are using a drug problem in Rio Riba County, one of the smallest, most tribal counties in America, to justify the police takeover of the nation's capital.
I hadn't even heard of her emergency order.
Yeah. Well, and, it's not a big thing. I mean, It allows her to use the National
right.
Guard, but she has said she has no intention to do so. She just wants to free up the money.
Yeah, and it obviously is required to do that.
But on conservative media, they have her calling out the National Guard. It's conservative media. Not that any. Anyway. Yeah, so there is that. What about the national stuff?
Thought it was interesting that Tulsi Gabbard lifted security clearances for another 37 officials or former officials,
right.
including some or most, maybe all, have no particular political, you know, they're people who do their jobs.
Right.
And I'm certainly having trouble with the new conservative claim that they shouldn't have investigated the Russian messing around in our election. I mean, there was enough evidence of that and evidence of possible collaboration with the campaign.
Evidence of collaboration.
Mm-hmm.
Donald Trump Jr. met with Russian KGB, I think KGB. No, there were meetings. So no, there's not evidence. Yes.
I mean, how you could be in a security position overseeing that kind of thing and not investigate is beyond me. They had a special prosecutor who had a lot of evidence. I remember looking. They also indicted about 24 people. They can't try them because they're Russians.
Hacking.
But they had a lot of detailed information about this.
They hacked into the DNC.
They did interfere in the election. I understand why that's an embarrassment to Mr. Trump, but face it, it happened.
To be clear, what they're doing are conflating two different things.
Mm-hmm.
What happened is the Russian hackers broke into the DNC email. They got all of this embarrassing, some incriminating emails. They sat on it until the day after the Access Hollywood video was released. And then the day after that, they started dribbling them out. One day at a time, every day there'd be a new batch that would come out. And what that did was influence the election.
Yep.
Marco Rubio, at that time in the Senate, headed a Senate committee that came to that exact conclusion.
Right.
That yes, Russians did interfere. And yes, it was their intention to try to influence the election in favor of Donald Trump. Those things happened. What they're saying is that there was, I guess, a separate allegation or investigation into attempts by Russia to actually hack into the machines and change votes. And they're saying that
I remember the people getting indicted for doing online fake things.
Right. And conflating those two things. They're saying we now have conclusive evidence that Russia didn't do that. Well, we had conclusive evidence all along. That's exactly right. And the last thing I want to say on this is John Dowd, Republican attorney, was hired not a special, whatever, a step below that. Maybe
it was
special
counsel.
Maybe it was special counsel. And spent, I think, more than 2 years, many, many millions of dollars investigating the alleged crimes. He brought, I believe, 3 cases to court. He got one guy to, he didn't win a conviction in court. He got one guy to, plea bargain. Went to court on the other two and lost. You know, all of this talk that we needed another investigation. Okay.
Yo, you had one, and we spent a lot of money on it. It, you know, was done by one of your sympathizers. It didn't uncover anything.
But just to be clear, that all of that is to say, don't look at the Jeffrey Epstein case. Look at this instead. The timing of nothing. No timing is coincidental in this administration. Everything is choreographed like a TV show. If they can. Everything they can control, they will make it roll out like a TV show and be the producers.
Yep. Of course, the Epstein, you know, it's just so clear that Mr. Trump was a pal of his. Yeah, one of his closest pals. Epstein said he thought he was Donald Trump's closest friend.
Right, and every new information that comes looks bad. I mean, he claims that he broke things off 2 years before he sent that letter, or not a letter, an interview, talking about what a great guy he is. So who knows?
But the apparent truth on that is that Epstein took, the reason they split up from Epstein's point of view is that Epstein he had a neat piece of property down in Florida he wanted to buy, and he talked to Trump about I don't know, converting the tennis court or a swing pool. He took him out there and showed it to him. And Trump basically liked the property too, so he went around his friend and
bought it out from under
bought it out from under him. And that's where, you know, Epstein had had enough of Trump.
That makes more sense than any of the other suggestions.
It's like. It's as if they're trying to be in the National Guardian, whatever the newspaper
National Inquirer.
National Inquirer.
Right.
But, you know, Epstein said that he introduced Trump and Trump's wife and that they, had sex on his airplane. And she's now suing Hunter Biden for saying she knew, Epstein.
Everybody's suing everybody.
True.
I mean,
unfortunate, but true.
And go Hunter Biden, sue her back. What the heck, you know? I mean,
I can't believe we're actually really talking about all this stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Got to be better things in the world.
What did you think of the Alaska summit?
You know, if it ends with Ukraine getting some kind of security assurances, then it was a good summit. I mean, you have to look beyond the theatrics and beyond the everybody is looking at the optics. And last time Zelensky was sitting there in a green, military, getting lectured by Marjorie Taylor Greene's boyfriend. That was the optics of the last one. So this one, it's two world leaders meeting more on an equal level, and Trump doing what Trump always does. When he meets with Putin, he wants to agree with Putin, and he wants to end that meeting with both sides saying how great it was and how we're moving forward, and it was so successful. And when he meets with Putin's enemy, he wants to have the exact same result at the end. And let's be honest, he keeps talking about the six wars that I've already ended. I have no clue what he's talking about. All of this is angling for a Nobel Peace Prize.
Talking about Armenia.
The only thing that Donald Trump cares about in all of this is winning the Nobel Peace Prize. If Russia and Ukraine go back to war after he gets the prize, he wouldn't give a darn.
Yeah. I certainly worry about where it ends up, and if I'm Ukraine, what value am I going to put on these guarantees that come from Donald Trump, who's not noted for even his sympathizers
right.
I think would agree he's not noted for keeping his word,
right?
Always keeps his word. It's probably not something even most of his sympathizers would say. And, people forget Ukraine was a nuclear power.
Before we convinced them to give those up.
And we and the Soviet Union guaranteed that they wouldn't regret it, that they'd have security.
No, that's right.
And look what happened. So,
I don't think anybody puts any stock in the word of Donald Trump, but I think what came out of that was a pretty unified Europe that is willing to step in. And the only question with Trump is, will he do anything to muck that up?
And of course, giving Russia territory for its invasion.
You can't do it.
No.
You can't do it.
Putin doesn't appear ready to take anything less than some territory.
Yeah. I mean, in my opinion, you don't give Russia territory, you give Ukraine arms. And if that takes the next president, some wars drag on.